Please rise. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We bow our heads in prayer. Father of mercy, by your gracious Spirit, guide and govern us that we may use your spiritual and temporal gifts aright. Preserve the estates you have established, both for the eternal salvation and the temporal welfare of mankind. And by your mighty arm, hinder and destroy that revolutionary spirit of anarchy that would subvert your order. Keep us in your word. Amen. We repeat the psalm. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You withdrew all your wrath. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord. Let me hear what God, the Lord, will speak. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Faithfulness springs up from the ground. Yes, the Lord will give what is good. Righteousness will go before him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and forever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Please be seated for the hymn.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. This morning we meditate upon God's word from 1 Timothy chapter 2, which reads as follows. I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men everywhere to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. This is the word of our God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in a little manicured park near Cambridge, Massachusetts, there is a block of stone dedicated to a man who is the oldest known man to have fought in the Revolutionary War. The name written on that stone is Samuel Whitmore, and this is what is engraved on that stone. It says, near this spot, Samuel Whitmore, then 80 years old, killed three British soldiers on April 19, 1775. That was in my time. He was shot, bayoneted, beaten, and left for dead, but recovered and lived to be 98 years old. I bet he was Army guy all the way. But think about that for a minute. 80 years old. I mean, that's reaching the time of age where you want just peace and quiet in your life. It's an age where this guy should be retired and playing shuffleboard instead of being shot. He should be spending time playing bridge with the boys instead of being beaten and bayoneted. It is a reminder to all of us that whether you are a 19-year-old serving in Iraq, whether you are 20 and waiting in the rice paddies of Vietnam, whether you are 22 and in the nose of a B-25 bomber in World War II, or whether you are an 80-year-old soldier in the Revolutionary War, this sin-laden world is often the last place where one finds peace and quiet. You know, on this Veterans Day, we think about the soldier. And his is a life of utter contrast. I mean, they know what it's like to have utter chaos in their life, and yet at the same time, there can be complete peace. If you've ever been in war or you've served in the military, you know how noisy it can be. If you've been around a chopper getting ready to take off, the sound of the whirling props. If you've been around a tank that's going full blast. If you've been around artillery blast going off all around you, it's totally noisy. The exact opposite of any kind of peace. But then you contrast that with the peace and quiet of, say, a veteran's cemetery like Arlington, that there is the quiet wind rustling through those white gravestones. It's quiet enough to hear taps playing in the background or to hear loved ones gently sobbing over the grave of a loved one. What's interesting to me here in 1 Timothy chapter 2 is Paul's answer for what truly brings quiet and peace in this world. And he says the answer to these things is not larger armies or greater battles or more victories in this life. He does not say that policies and politics are ultimately the answer. Instead, he, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, finds the remedy in the church of Jesus Christ and in the church at prayer. Oh, I think sometimes maybe we forget that Christ has said that it is we, the church, who are the salt of the earth. That is the preserving ingredient here in this world. And sometimes maybe we forget that prayer is powerful. Oh, how powerful it is. If you read your Bible, it is filled with such great examples. Prayer has turned back nations. It has closed the mouth of lions. It has toppled city walls. It has shaken the foundations of buildings and the earth. And prayer has with it great promises. Promises of Christ the King. He says, "Ask, and it shall be given." And in John 14, he says, "I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." You read that and you say, "Whatever? That's not my word. That's Jesus saying that. Whatever we ask that would bring glory to Christ and God the Father, he says he will answer." And so as the church, we need to pray. He says for the king, in today's language we would say for our president and for those in authority. And that's not just politics speaking, it is the will of God. And we need also to pray as priests for the souls of lost people. For this is what he goes on to say. "This is good and pleases God our Savior." God our who? Our Savior. "Who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." And so our goal for quiet and peaceful lives is not just for more leisure time. It's not so that we can just have more fun here in the time given to us in this world. But it is ultimately for the joy of spreading the gospel of our Savior. Christ crucified for our sins, risen from the dead for our justification. Do you have peace with your God? Do you have the quiet rest of knowing that your sins are washed away? You know, I want to tell you, friends, that merely being Lutheran won't cut it. There will be no peace in your soul so long as you are at peace with your sin. But God's word says this. But if we confess our sins, and that doesn't mean just say it or speak it rote out of a liturgy. It means bringing ourselves to our Savior and having an unconditional battlefield surrender, saying, "I give my sins to you." It says, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is in Jesus and Jesus Christ alone that we find true peace and quiet. It is Jesus who says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, this Veterans Day, we think about how many people come back from war wounded, sometimes in their body maimed, sometimes coming back with things like PTSD. And all of us as Americans care for these people, don't we? We want to see them get well and better. We care about our veterans. Do we think that God cares any less for people and people who have been wounded in their souls? Who have gone through the battlefield of this world and have been beat up and maimed by the devil? Who have gone through the circumstances of sin and are hurting? Does not the God, the carer and shepherd of our souls, care for such as these? There is a reason why Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. It's not because he comes to bring peace merely on a battlefield, but he has come to bring peace to your heart. to forgive you, and to bring peace between you and Almighty God. Let us come to Him and receive the peace that passes all understanding and the rest for your soul. Now the love of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I invite the congregation to please rise for prayer. Lord, we remember on this day the horrors of war and the mercies of your providence in the past. We give thanks for those who have served in the armed forces, the families who have loved them, missed their presence, interceded in prayer for them, and rejoiced in their return. Especially though, we pray for those families who did not see their loved ones returned because they gave their lives in defense of freedom and this land that we love. May we never forget the sacrifices that have been made for us by those courageous men and women. Lord of the nations, we pray, according to your good and gracious will, that you would grant peace among nations in this time as well. Put into the hearts of rulers and nations the desire to avert bloodshed, strife, and selfishness, and cause all to see the folly of war. You guarantee to all eternal peace in Christ. May your gospel be proclaimed that the foundation of love may be laid in Christ, the Prince of Peace. In his name we ask it. Amen. We pray the prayer that our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Please be seated. Morning. Thank you all for joining us here this morning. At 11 o'clock, we are going to have a groundbreaking ceremony out by the parking lot behind the field house, the gymnasium. All that can be there are invited to attend. It's rather chilly out. We got a little bit of November here in November, or January and November, rather. So if you would like to, you can wait just inside the entryway of the field house until it's time to go out. But at 11 o'clock, we will begin the groundbreaking ceremony out there. So thank you once again, and God's continued blessings. God bless. Just go back out.